So we are going into year three with me being the main preaching pastor here at Fireside. And occasionally, I like to stop and take an evaluation of where we are as a church. There are times where I have done this in the past. If you have been around, you remember the series called Fireside Chats, where we went through some items of repentance and just looking forward to what God was going to do through us and through the proclamation of His Word. And so this series called Intentional is going to be in that line. We're going to take 4 weeks, and we're going to look at how we can be intentional in our faith journey. Because as I've been praying, as I've been thinking about the church, as we have been going through, I think the next step for us individually is to remember how God has called us to be a light in this area and in this city. And so it took me to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. You don't have to turn there, but this is kind of going to be the theme, overarching umbrella verse for these 4 weeks. And it's where Jesus says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father in heaven." So as I've been thinking about how we are to take the next step, if you will, or to equip ourselves for doing those good works that Jesus talked about, I want to spend just a few weeks looking at various ways that we can do that. And the first one's going to be intentionally equipping ourselves. And our text for this series today will be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have a copy of God's Word of your own, you should find one there in the pew. It's on page 677 of that version of the Scripture, page 677. The larger numbers on that page are the chapter numbers. The smaller numbers are the verse numbers. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, we would love to gift that copy to you. It's free for you to take. If it's seen its better days, trade it in. We'll get you a fresh copy. And we would love for you to read God's Word. We would love for you to study God's Word. And we would want to do that with you. So consider that our gift to you as we prepare for this time of intentional. And we want our light to shine through that. So taking a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in starting in verse 15. "And as you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we open your word to us, and if we want to be equipped to let our good work shine, let our light shine and reflect you, we need to be equipped only through the scripture. And as we look to your scripture and your word this morning, dear Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would see that we rely on what you have told us in your word and how to live. But more importantly, it is the information that you have given, the path that you have given to highlight you, to highlight Christ and how Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, lived a life that we could not live, died to take your wrath, and then overcome death by rising again on the third day, you accepting his sacrifice. And dear Lord, as we study your word this morning, if there is anything that I say that does not honor you, I pray that those words hit the ground before they're ever heard. But everything that is God-honoring, Christ-exalting, that gives you glory and honor and praise, I just pray that you would bury it in our hearts to draw us closer to you, that we may be equipped for every good work and to shine the light of your love around us, to those around us. And I just pray that you would have your way and your will in this time, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. So if we're going to live intentional, if we're going to live in light of Christ's love, we need to be properly equipped. And Paul tells the Ephesian elders, which, by the way, Timothy is the pastor of Fireside Fellowship in Ephesus, if you will. He's the pastor of that church. He is there, one of the lead elders there. And so he tells the Ephesian believers that they need to have the whole armor of God. And if you're familiar with the book of Ephesians, you know the whole armor of God outlines God's salvation, his righteousness, and it gives armor pieces. But the only piece of equipment that is offensive is God's word. And so we need to be equipped in order to shine our light. We need to be equipped by God's word. There is a reason why we go through books of the Bible straight through, because that's the way God designed them to be read. And like I said, there are times where we will stop and take a portion of scripture just to emphasize a point, like I'm doing now. But God's word is to be proclaimed and to be read. When we come back on Wednesday nights, we're going to study the book of Revelation. And it's actually the book of the Bible that actually blesses those who read it out loud, is what the book actually says, what the scripture actually says. So we want to focus on God's word. And why should we do that? Well, first look in verse 15. There's a really a important reason why. As we look at verse 15, it says, it gives you wisdom for salvation. So first, scripture is an evangelical, even evangelistic tool. I hear Christians so many times say, I don't know how to evangelize my friends. I don't know how to share the gospel with my friends. It's very easy. You know that Bible I talked about in the pew? Take it and give it to them. And just say, I would love for you to read this. I'd love to read it with you. Because that gives you the wisdom of salvation. The entirety of scripture that Jesus talked about when he rose from the dead all points to him, and everything written after his resurrection all points to him. And so everything is about Christ and his church and his bride and how he's working and moving among his people. And so the first order of business to equip us is we should use scripture evangelistically, because it's how people come to the knowledge of salvation. In Romans chapter 10, how can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless someone is sent? And we need to share God's word with people. So in order to share God's word, maybe you don't have a Bible that you can hand somebody at a given time. That means we need to know enough of the Bible to be equipped to share God's word with them in various situations. And we're going to look at that here in just a second. But look in verse 16 then, where Paul says, all scripture. What does that mean? That means the whole, basically. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 21. From the introduction to the conclusion, the whole of scripture is profitable. And that means we shouldn't shy away from studying all of the scripture ourselves. Now, obviously, there are parts of scripture that I like to study more than other parts of scripture. There are parts of scripture that you may like to read more than other parts of scripture. But the charge is that all of scripture, all of Holy Writ, is there for our good and to glorify God. So we need to study all of it. There's a reason why we've been bouncing between New Testament books and Old Testament books. The Old Testament basically are the promises made of the seed. In Genesis 3, remember we've been talking through Genesis, and in Genesis 3, when mankind fell, when Adam sinned, God made a promise that the seed of the woman would come through that chain and would squash the seed of the serpent. And so there are promises made, and we're looking at those as we're going through Genesis. And then the rest of the Old Testament, whether it's prophecy, whether it's narrative, whether it's poetry, all of it points to the coming Messiah. And then the New Testament, if you will, what's called the New Testament, starts with the Messiah's arrival. Jesus coming down on earth. God himself stepping out of eternity and stepping onto this earth as a young child, a helpless babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then he is fulfilling the promises made in the Old Testament where the Messiah comes. And all of the New Testament, the Gospels specifically talk about Jesus' life, which is really important because it's a life that we should live that we're not able to because of our sin. But we see the example of him living it out. And then it's his death and resurrection. It's the death taking the wrath of our sin on him, that even if we spent eternity in hell, we couldn't satisfy God's wrath. But Christ did on the cross in our place. And so the Old Testament, promises made, New Testament, promises fulfilled. All of Scripture here is to help us grow in the knowledge of who God is and how we should relate to Him. Growth is having the mind of Christ for a Christian. For a non-Christian, it means that you need to understand, and we need to be able to share with you that the Bible is many stories that comprise actually one story about one main character. And it can be believed in part or in whole. And so when Paul says all of Scripture, we should not shy away from proclaiming this entire book. If we want to be truly equipped, we spend our entire life invested in this book. Why? Well, look at verse 16 again. All Scripture is inspired by God. In the Greek, literally, that word means God breathed. So God spoke through the Scripture. Ultimately, when someone reads the Bible, it is God speaking. The Holy Spirit superintended over the human writers, and there are exact types of writing that are to the Apostle Paul. There are exact types of writing through John, through David in the Psalms. They have their personality in there, but the Holy Spirit superintended over that to where what they wrote down and what they said is God speaking through them and superintending over what they said, where it's actually God speaking. These are the oracles of God. So when we read the Scripture and when we speak the Scripture and when we're equipped with the Scripture, Scripture becomes our final foundation. You want to know how to live? And you want to know how to live rightly in front of God? Live out what Scripture says. That's where we find out in the law that we can't do that in and of ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come. But if you want to live trying to honor God, as a Christian, you know that therefore there is no condemnation through Christ who has now set everything right. But as a non-believer, if you're here, first off, thank you so much for being here this morning. I greatly appreciate it. There's no other place I would rather you be than sitting under this teaching. But you have to understand that Scripture points us to someone outside of ourselves, that no matter how good we are, we can never live up to God's requirement. And God knows this, but He loves you so much that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you place your trust in Him and repent of your sins and say, God, I know I can't do this. I know I can't make it to heaven on my own. And I give my heart wholly over to You. That God is faithful and just to save you. Why do I say that? Because this is what Scripture says. And because it is God breathed, it can be trusted. So we need to make sure that we are always looking into what God says. Now, there are some pastors that I've heard say, and they say it for effect, but it's true. If you want to hear God speak, read God's Word. If you want to hear God speak audibly, read it out loud. Right? And so that's one thing. But denying Scripture or denying the truth of Scripture, you are literally denying God Himself. And we do not want to do that. So we want to be equipped with God's Word as best we can. And we're finite creatures. We're never going to know completely, exhaustively everything that's in this book. You can spend lifetimes studying this book and you never get to the bottom of it. That's because God is so, just so amazing, so holy, and so weighty. So Scripture is all as the whole, God breathed. And then look what it says. Why should we equip ourselves with Scripture? Well, it's profitable for teaching. Profitable for teaching. Some translations translate this word profitable for instruction or profitable for doctrine. But it's basically teaching doctrine, and it's divine instruction both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and it's comprehensive and complete as it shows us the divine truth that is necessary for life in Christ, through Christ, and then for godliness because of Christ. And so all Scripture is profitable for teaching. So we are to teach, we are to use it first for ourselves. We are to teach ourselves by reading God's Word and learning. You're here this morning because you want to learn something about God. You want to learn something about what He did for us in Christ. And that's a great thing. So we're teaching ourselves, but also we're using it to teach others, just as parents teach children and just as teachers teach students. We want to teach others and be equipped to teach others. So as you're having the conversations, when you hand somebody that Bible and say, I want to read it with you, you're teaching them about God. Our belief systems are all shaped or should be shaped from the Bible. If it's contrary to what the Bible says, then we need to discard our system and not the Bible. Our beliefs that don't line up with Scripture should be jettisoned very quickly because it is sin. This is the final truth. This is the final say. This is what shows us who God is. The law in the Old Testament shows us our faults. The gospel in the New Testament shows us salvation through Christ Jesus. And it is profitable for us to be equipped with Scripture so we can teach others. And here's the thing. You may not know a certain answer to a certain question that your friend or whoever you're sharing the gospel with may ask, and that's okay. Don't let that stop you from sharing the gospel. Because when they say, I have a question, and you say, I don't know the answer to that, but I know where we can find it, let's study it together. Number one, if you answer it and you don't know what the answer is, you could lead someone astray and say something that God never intended. But number two, you're going back to the source where you can find the answer. And by saying, let's study it together, you're showing that person that you truthfully believe this and that it is the final word of life and doctrine for your life. But it's not only good for teaching. Look next at verse 16. For rebuking. Also for conviction, if you will. That's the way that translation comes through. It's to rebuke wrong behavior or wrong belief. The Bible exposes sin that must be dealt with. Because there are people in Scripture that come face to face with this reality. The rich young ruler said that he obeyed all the law from his youth. And Jesus actually never said that he didn't. But then he showed him his pride when he told him to go and sell all his possessions and give it to the poor. And so when coming face to face with the mirror of God's word, we see our sins and we're convicted of those. That's why when we share God's word with someone, as we equip them with God's word, they are confronted with the fact of something that is hard for them to swallow. And I dare say we're all pious in here and we're all religious and we would say, oh, we believe it hook, line, and sinker, but it's not the parts of the Bible I don't understand that I have trouble with. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that I have trouble with. Don't lie, don't steal, don't lust, right? I'm still working on all of those, and you are too, right? We are confronted and convicted with our sins, and it exposes our hearts and how we can't deal with ourselves by ourselves. We need Christ. And it rebukes our wrong behaviors or our wrong beliefs. And any sin that the Bible exposes then can be dealt with through confession and repentance. God is all-knowing. He demands holiness and provides one way and one way only for salvation. And so we have to deal with our sins through what Scripture says and how Scripture says. But not only does it say for rebuking, look what it says next. Verse 16. It says for correcting in righteousness, or for correcting. And basically that means to straighten again. So think of it, if you've broke a bone, It's the same concept. You have to make that bone straight again. So it's for correcting. Maybe you know what the scripture says about a certain thing, and you've been convicted of that thing, but you still need correcting. You go back to what God's word says about it. This is a restoration process, right? Just like a broken bone. When you reset a broken bone, it restores that bone. And many times it makes it come back even stronger. So if you have a problem with a certain sin or a certain failure in your life, go back to what Scripture says. Look at what Scripture says about it. Confess that sin. It corrects your thinking and it brings you back into godly living. And we see here that not only is the Bible used for negative, if you will, aspects of our lives, but also it puts us in a positive way because it shows us God's concern with our growth. Not only does it show us God's concern for our salvation, but it shows us God's concern for our growth. That's why spiritual disciplines of Bible reading and prayer and worship and fellowship and fasting and discernment, all of those things point us back to help us correct our paths through the Scripture. Sometimes we don't know we're broken. Many times we don't know we're broken. And this is how we can be fixed. The Bible fixes the issues we face and fixes our mindset around that. And then sixth, it says, the Bible, all Scripture is inspired by God, is profitable for training in righteousness. Like I said, for training a child even. It's not merely rebuke and correction, but it's training for godly living. It's training for godly living. When we are a Christian, we need to know what God's Word says so we can live it out as best we can. We move from being God's enemy to His child. And as God's enemy, we needed to be convicted and corrected and brought into His family. And then as a family member, we need to be trained up in that. There's a reason why you come to church. Not only is it because you have friends here, not only is it because you find comfort here, it's also that we are training you in righteousness as we share God's word through the teaching of Sunday school, through the teaching of the kids' classes, the youth classes, the proclamation of God's word and worship. We are training us in worship of God and how we should live. When we are a Christian, this is how we know God cares for us, because we read God's scripture and we see God's love and we see how He cares for His children, because ultimately everything we do should be for God's glory. And if everything we do is for God's glory, then ultimately it will be for our good. Because in 2 Thessalonians, what we looked at in Sunday school this morning, ultimately we can pray knowing that our vindication is complete, even if we're suffering persecution. Because God will vindicate His children, whether in this life or in the afterlife. We can pray from a sense of victory. That's what Paul's telling the Thessalonian church. Your faith is growing, grace is being expounded, and you can pray from a sense of all those who are persecuting you, God will deal with, and He will deal with them in the way that most glorifies Him, whether now or in eternity. So when we train people, we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we need to be equipped. You need to be equipped. I need to be equipped into sharing God's word in a way to train others. There may be a time when a brother or sister in Christ has a problem that needs to be dealt with. And you go to Scripture and you read, bear one another's burdens. And you think to yourself, I need to step up and do that for my brother or sister in Christ. Or it may be that you have someone and they say, I don't know how to pray. And you say, you know what? Let's study that together and see what God's word says. Or it may be that you need to make a defense of the gospel at work and you don't know how, and you come to me or someone else in this church and you share your struggles with you. The first thing I should do is say, what Scripture tells us is this. Not my opinion, not what I think, but what Scripture says. And that's how we train ourselves in righteousness. But let's not stop just at verse 16, because that's all about the Bible. Why should we do this? Why should we know that Scripture is ultimate? Well, look in verse 16. So that the man of God, so remember, Paul's telling this to Timothy, who's the pastor of the church of Ephesus, may be complete. May be complete. It means being ready because of our preparation. You want me to be prepared as your pastor to be able to preach to you week in and week out. You want me to be complete in my preparation, but what I'm telling you is this is expanding not only to me as pastor, but also to you as Christian. If you want to be complete for your preparation and you're having to use God's word and you want to use God's word and be equipped to intentionally use God's word, whether it is evangelistically or sharing the gospel with someone or just training your children up, you need to be equipped as well so you can be complete, ready to share. And we lean into Scripture to equip each and every single one of us. Sadly to say, I've had Christians tell Renee that they want a preacher who doesn't just explain the Bible to them. I'm like, ugh, that's not the way I read this verse. Scripture completes us. We share the Scripture because that's what grows us. And we develop a special aptitude for denying ourselves and running to Christ for direction so that we can say, Lord, here I am. Just like Abraham did. Remember a couple weeks ago when he was going to sacrifice, God told him to sacrifice Isaac. And even before he knew what God was going to ask him to do, when God called out Abraham, what did he say? Here I am. He was ready because he knew he could trust in God's word. Because God had made a promise to him, and he knew that when God makes a promise to him, he's going to fulfill it. And then when God stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac and he called out his name, what did Abraham say? The exact same thing. Here I am. So we need to be ready to say, Lord, here I am. But look back at verse 17. Why should we be complete and ready? Well, to be equipped for every good work. To be equipped for every good work. That's an action that carries out a purpose. An action that carries out a purpose. So while you think about Matthew 5:16, where it talks about, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works, there is a slight difference because Jesus and Paul use two different words to explain good works. Both passages refer to actions pleasing to God. Jesus in Matthew highlights works that are noble and visible to light up the world, where 2 Timothy emphasizes completely being equipped inside and out for every morally good task. So Matthew's passage highlights work that is noble and visible to light up the world, where 2 Timothy emphasizes being completely equipped inside and out for every morally good task. So in order to accomplish the good works that Jesus talked about in Matthew, we need to intentionally equip ourselves with the Scripture, as Paul instructs Timothy to do, so that we can be ready for that task. And so as we are intentionally equipping ourselves as a church, and this is my challenge to us this week, I don't know your Bible reading plan, I don't know if you have personal devotions, I don't know any of that stuff, but I challenge you this week, if you haven't been, to start. Learn of Christ. Read His Word daily. Ingest it. As Jesus said when He was being tempted, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And as we've seen, this Scripture is God-breathed. So our challenge as we equip ourselves for our next step as a church. We need to make sure we are grounded in the truth of God's word. We are ready for the task that God has before us if we intentionally equip ourselves. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you for your word first and foremost because it points us to you. On the road to Emmaus after your resurrection, you spent time with two disciples who didn't know that it was you walking alongside them. And as you were walking, you shared Moses, the prophets, and the writings with them and opened their eyes to the fact that they all pointed to you. And then when you appeared right after that to your disciples, you opened up their eyes to see the scripture being fulfilled before their eyes. And dear Lord, as we here are ministering in Kingston, Tennessee first, and Roane County secondly, the state of Tennessee, the U.S., and around the world, we need to be able to look to your scripture and to see you clearly and to lift your name high throughout it and to help us to be equipped to do our good work through correction, through rebuking, through instruction, through teaching, through admonishment, through training in righteousness, so that we may be ready to show our good works to this city, to help them to see that we've been with you. And dear Lord, it is so wonderful to know that just as the kids at VBS learned this week, Jesus is the way. Jesus is alive, resurrected from the dead. Jesus can completely change us. And the Holy Spirit moves to help us. Dear Lord, help us to just live out those four statements this week by looking into your word, grounding us in your word. And I pray that as we go through our song of response, I just ask that if there's anyone here that needs to come and pray, the altar is open. If anyone would like to speak to me, I will hang around after the service as long as necessary up front just to have a conversation. If there's a question about something I've said, I welcome for them to come and ask me directly. We'd love to open the scripture together. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.